Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
As we return now to our study of the third epistle of John, you will note that we are taking a very close look at verses 3 and 4, where we learn the reason for John's joy was that the spiritual children that he had a responsibility for and a special love for were walking in truth. They were walking according to that which they had been taught by John and had been taught by others, had been taught by their pastors, had been taught previously perhaps by the Apostle Paul or by Apollos, who also ministered in this very same area, and Timothy, likewise, who had also ministered in this area. And of course, we don't know how many of the people that John is writing to would have been alive and would have benefited from the ministry of Paul and Apollos and Timothy and others, who now have passed off the scene approximately 20 years before. So some of these could very well have come to Christ under the ministry of Paul, Apollos, Timothy, others under the ministry of John, the last surviving apostle, and others certainly under the ministry of unnamed people who are nevertheless faithful to the Word of God. But the important thing is that they are walking in truth. They are people that John considers to be his children, obviously a spiritual child, a spiritual connection. He's not talking about his physical children, but people that he has a special relationship with because he has been teaching them the Word of God and he has been observing their life and their conduct with great interest and especially with those who are walking in truth, with great joy. And it is the truth that gives John the joy. It is the centrality of the truth, the power of the truth, the allegiance to the truth, the manifestation of truth in their lives that is giving John such great joy. And I keep emphasizing the fact that that's what ought to give us the greatest joy. It ought to be related in some way to the truth of God's Word. If it is not, then we have strayed a great distance from New Testament Christianity. Perhaps we need to get back. Thank you for joining me on this Monday, July 1. Thank you for being considerate of the financial needs necessary to keep this broadcast airing on this station. Well, we have not only a statement about the reason for John's joy, namely that his spiritual children were walking in truth, but I also think we can look at this as a statement of commendation. And I'll explain that in a moment, but before I get into that, I do want to say one further word about this concept of children. These people, some of whom were no doubt converts of the Apostle John, but others no doubt who were converts from the ministry of somebody else, but nevertheless were in some way connected with John and considered themselves to look to him for leadership, who could be accurately called disciples of John, though that would not have to be an exclusive relationship. It's possible for people to be disciples of John and disciples of others who were faithful to the Word of God. We don't have to have an exclusive relationship with one spiritual leader. But these are ones who look to John for spiritual leadership and over whom John exercised spiritual leadership and authority. They are his children. Gaius was one of his children. To the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospered, for I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you. Just as you walk in truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Obviously, Gaius is the primary one that he has in mind here, and yet the language seems to broaden out to others as well. Not that my child is walking in truth, singular, Gaius, but that my children are walking in truth, others in addition to Gaius. But again, back to this idea of children, and just a little aside, but I bring this up from time to time. We read this language that John is talking about children, and because we are familiar with language like this in the Bible, we probably don't even stop to think exactly what to call this. But obviously, John is using the term children in what we might call a spiritual sense, or we might call a symbolic sense. In other words, it is something other than the most literal sense. The most literal sense for the term children would be John's physical children. If I said to you, I'm so thankful for my children, what would you think I was talking about? You would think I was talking about my four daughters, now married. In the case of three of them, the children which they have, who are now my grandchildren. And if I said, I'm so thankful for the evidence of God's grace in the lives of my children, you would no doubt think I'm talking about my physical children. But when John says this, we don't even think about that. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Well, because of the context, because of the setting, we don't even pause over the possibility that he's talking about physical children. We instinctively jump to the symbolic use of that term. And that's just simply to point out something, and that is that there's an awful lot of symbolic language in the Bible that we don't even make note of. We would pass over this one and probably wouldn't even think about it, that John is using symbolism. He's not being strictly literal in the use of that term, children. He is being symbolic. It is symbolic of a spiritual relationship. And spiritual children is a well-established concept in the Christian family, the family of God. We still use that today. We understand that term. We talk sometimes about spiritual children. But there's a lot of this kind of language in the Bible, more than I think many people make note of. So just keep that in mind. Terms in the Bible that could be understood literally, in many cases, may not be appropriately understood literally. And what am I getting at here? I'm getting at how we interpret Scripture, how we interpret the Word of God. Many people have been taught that the only way to understand the Bible is to employ the most literal meaning possible only when literal use is clearly impossible. Well, here's a good example that's not always exactly correct. Is it impossible that John had any physical children? And is it impossible that he's talking about them? Well, no, that's not impossible. That's not beyond the realm of possibility. We really don't know anything much about John's personal life. We don't know anything about his wife. We don't know anything about children. Did he have a wife? Did he have children? We don't know. Very possibly he did. But we don't take this passage to say, well, evidently he did. Obviously he did. He talks here about children. So clearly we know that John was married and had children. Here's the evidence of it right here. No, we don't take it that way, because we realize that even though, yes, this term could be taken literally, if that were necessary, it's not beyond the realm of possibility, but it's not the most likely use of the term. It's not the most likely way to understand it. It's far more likely that John is using the term spiritually. That makes more sense in the passage. The context points in that direction. I don't see anything in the context that absolutely requires that, but I do see much in the context that strongly indicates that. So strongly that, as I say, we wouldn't even think about a literal possibility in this case. We just move automatically in our mind to some kind of a spiritual definition of this term children. And the only two possibilities that I raised a moment ago, or I guess yesterday or last week when we talked about this, is that the term could refer to John's converts, or it could refer to John's disciples. I didn't even consider the possibility that it could refer to John's physical descendants, his children. And there's a lot in the Bible that way. I'll just leave it there without going any further. But there's a lot in the Bible that way. Obviously, we do have to start with literal meanings of words, or pretty soon language becomes nonsense. But we also need to understand that the Bible has a lot of non-literal usage that, if we are too stuck in a mold that requires us to employ the most literal meaning possible, and if there's any possibility that the literal meaning could be valid, that we must go with that one. We can't go beyond that. We can't consider anything else. I think that's going to lead us to a lot of poor exegesis and weak interpretation in Scripture. Yes, we start, in most cases, with a literal meaning, but we don't rule out the possibility that that may not be what was intended by the author. In this case, it just comes to us automatically. We automatically understand that John is not talking about his own physical children. But in some cases, it's not that clear. But let's not rule out the possibility that perhaps this is a non-literal use. We need to consider that and see what best fits the context. And then we will come to the understanding that is correct, because what we want to know is not, can this word be understood literally, but what did the author intend by the use of this word? What did God the Holy Spirit intend by the use of this word? That's what we want to know. And only when we're willing to look in that direction will we be able to understand and interpret Scripture correctly. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.